in the workplace, you are going to face setbacks. You're going to feel like you were overlooked for a promotion. You are going to feel like this promotion belongs to you. I have an example of this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Organizational Behavior with Sipiwe Moyo. In this podcast video series, one of the things that we want to do, we chat about the intersection of organizational behavior and career success. It is my passion, it is my duty, it is my calling to just ensure that people understand that workplaces do not have to suck. Today, I want to talk about the fine line between self-worth and entitlement in the workplace. This is a controversial one because I think it's very important for employees to be self-assured in the workplace. I think we need people who are self-assured, people who understand their self-worth, people who have a high self-efficacy in the workplace on the one hand. But I think sometimes it goes to the extreme where we now have people who are entitled. So I was recently working with this particular organization that shall remain nameless, of course. And I was helping them trying to navigate change, right? And while we're talking about these changes that are happening in the workplace, you can see that, you know, everybody, when they go through change, and I've spoken about this, and I think in this particular podcast, that psychologically, we always go through different stages in change. There are so many other models that we can use to define change. But one of my favorite one is the William Bridges organizational change model. William Bridges argues that when people go through change, they go through three stages. Number one is the endings stage. I even wrote a book on this. The book is called Via Midway, Navigating Personal and Career Transitions. So the first stage is endings. You will never be able to change something. You'll never be able to embrace new beginnings until you've acknowledged that the end is gone. The second stage is what we call the neutral zone. The neutral zone is that awkward stage where you are neither excited about the future, but you've also accepted that the past is gone. But once you've embraced it, you then go to the new beginning stage where you're open to learning, where you're excited about the future, where you have high energy again. So I was just helping them to navigate this particular change that they're dealing with in the organization. While I was doing that, it became very clear to me that we were having people at the either end of the extreme. So if you imagine a certain virtue, a virtue where someone is self-assured and they have self-worth, and we'll explore this a little bit further. So that's the middle ground. You are self-assured, you understand your self-worth in the workplace. That's the virtue. And then the deficient vice in that particular scenario is where you undermine yourself, and we'll go through that. But the excess vice on the other extreme is where you are now entitled. Right. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the virtue of self-worth and being self-assured, as opposed to the deficient value, the deficient vice of a person who does not have self-worth in the workplace, but then address the excessive vice where you have so much self-worth, so much to a point where it becomes an entitlement and you feel entitled. So while I was doing that in the room, it became very clear to me that there were people who were falling in that spectrum. And I thought I'll do a podcast entry on this to help people understand the concept of embracing self-worth in the workplace. It is essential for me for individuals to recognize their value and feel confident in their abilities without succumbing to self-doubt or the imposter syndrome that I've spoken about with Brian Mhlanga and Boniwe Dunster in this particular podcast. So if maybe you are new to this podcast, go to one of our episodes where I was interviewing Boniwe Dunster and Brian Mhlanga. We're talking about imposter syndrome versus imposterization. So I'm not going to delve into that because we already did. So being confident in your own abilities without succumbing to self-doubt or imposter syndrome is very, very important. But through an examination of this virtue, I then find that there is an excess vice and deficient vice related to self-worth in the workplace. So what we want to do, we want to provide insights on fostering a healthy sense of confidence and worthiness. So let's start with the virtue, the right amount of self-worth and self-assuredness in the workplace that you need. So, and I think this virtue should guide our actions in the workplace. It's called self-assurance, right? So individuals who embrace self-assurance believe in their skills. They believe in their abilities, qualifications, and contributions, and they confidently assert their rightful place in the room. So they don't disappear in the room. They confidently assert their rightful place in the room. And this positive self-image empowers them to make meaningful contributions, collaborate effectively with colleagues, and pursue their goals with determination. So that's such a good thing. Self-assurance is very, very good. An employee with self-worth or self-assurance may exhibit some of the following characteristics and behaviors in the workplace according to various research. I'm getting so inspired. Can I have a sip of something? You never know what's in here. I'm joking. What's in here is this, but I wanted to advertise my logo. I'm having Coke Zero, but I wanted to advertise my logo. So let's chat about an employee with self-worth or self-assurance. What are some of the behaviors that are good that they can exhibit in the workplace? Firstly, they are confident. They believe in their abilities, strengths, and competencies. Self-belief is very important. There's a correlation between self-belief and career advancement. Don't let anybody fool you. There is a correlation between self-belief and advancement in the workplace. People who are self-assured, who are confident, they are not afraid of taking on certain challenges. They are not afraid of raising their hands and being willing and willing to step out of their comfort zone. They're sitting in the meeting and everybody says, we have this challenge, who's going to take up this challenge and make sure that we try to find solutions? They raise their hand. So self-confidence is very important. And they're also assertive. They express their thoughts, opinions, and ideas in a very clear and respectful manner. I sound like I'm talking about myself. I'm very clear, Shem. Very, very clear. Very, very clear. But still respectful. They're able to advocate for themselves and others effectively. They're both able to advocate for themselves and other people quite effectively. Oh, my goodness. There's something about somebody who's very confident, who's able to advocate for themselves, who's able to speak for themselves and speak for the others as well. It's just beautiful to watch. They have resilience as well, so they bounce back from setbacks and failures quite them well, using them as learning opportunities rather than letting them deter their progress. Oh, my goodness. Fam, please understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. In the workplace, you are going to face setbacks. You're going to feel like you were overlooked for a promotion. You are going to feel like this promotion belonged to you. I have an example of this. I don't know if I speak about this enough. You know, I have an example. I think it was when I was working for one of the banks, there was a time I was just like a rising star. You know, when everybody looks at you, they're like, this guy is promising. He's the next level. He is a rising star. And there was a time, because of that, I applied for a certain promotion and I was sure I was going to get that particular promotion. I was sure. In fact, everybody was like, Spiwe, you know, this belongs to you. The interview is just a formality. This is yours. We've been eyeing you for a while. You've been on the succession plan for a while. And this is your opportunity. And I didn't get that job. I was disappointed. I'm a human being. I was disappointed. But for me, it was so critical to overcome that setback, to recover from that setback. And many people, unfortunately, they never recover from this setback. And if you are watching this today if you faced any setback in the workplace where you felt like you lost out on a promotion or someone overlooked you or whatever it is either when you're feeling that resentment, it's either you leave or if you're going to stay, make sure that you recover from that setback. Because if you don't, you're going to be a sour, bitter human being and it's going to show even in your work. And when it shows in your work, then it's going to be counterproductive because then you're not going to show up well, which means you are not going to get another promotion at all. So recovering from setbacks is very important. And people who have confidence and people who are self-assured and people who have self-worth, they have that resilience, to recover from setbacks and failures, using them as learning opportunities rather than letting them deter their progress. Also, people who have the right amount of self-worth or who have the right amount of self-assurance in the workplace, they collaborate better. They work well with others, communicate effectively, and contribute positively to team dynamics. They're open to feedback and constructive criticism. So that's why this is a virtue. This is a good thing. They also set ambitious and achievable goals for themselves, both short-term and long-term. They have confidence to set up goals. They have a clear vision of what they want to accomplish and are very proactive in pursuing these objectives. They recognize their own achievements and successes. They also don't dismiss their acknowledgements. They also don't dismiss their successes. Many people have this terrible, terrible self-limiting behavior of disowning their successes, not being able to embrace their successes, own up to their successes. And if it's that you, I please understand that there comes a point where you have to own your successes. There comes a point when you have to acknowledge that you've come a long way, that you are doing well. You have to celebrate your milestones and your progress, fostering this appreciative attitude, but do not disown your achievement. But these people with self-assurance and self-worth, they're also able to establish healthy boundaries in their interactions with others. Because when you have self-worth, you are able to establish and maintain those boundaries. I sound like a relationship advice now. It's like, love yourself, baby. Love yourself. I sound like relationship advice. But it's linked, right? If you fail to have self-assurance and self-worth, it manifests in different environments. So it manifests in your personal life, in your personal relationships, but it also manifests in the workplace. But even in your personal relationships, when you have self-worth and self-assurance, when someone says, I will leave you, you're like, you are not a lung. I will survive. You are not a kidney. You can't beg people for love. You can't beg people to love you. Is there a song like that? I can't make you love me. But when you do have self-worth and self-assurance, even in the workplace, you're able to establish and maintain boundaries. You're also committed to life learning. I think people who have the right amount of self-worth and self-assurance are committed to continuous growth and development, seeking opportunities to expand their knowledge and skills. They're open to feedback and seek out challenges. And so overall, an employee with self-worth or self-assurance presents themselves as confident, assertive, resilient, collaborative, goal-orientated, self-aware, empathetic, and respectful in the workplace. They exude a sense of self-confidence and value, contributing positively to their own successes and success of their team. So I explained this, that if you imagine the virtue of self-confidence and self-assurance, and then we're going to go to what we call the excess vice, so the other extreme of self-worth and self-assurance. On the opposite side, end of this self-assurance lies the excess vice of entitlement, where individuals who exhibit entitlement believe that they're inherently deserving of recognition, inherently deserving of rewards or opportunities without necessarily earning them. You know, when I started speaking professionally on stages and motivational speaker, one of the talks I used to have was called Get Over It. And it was a talk about combating entitlement mentality. I stopped presenting that talk because I thought, yeah, it's also the word get over it was often misunderstood. But I'm realizing now that we still have people in the workplace who have this entitlement mentality of believing that they're inherently deserving of recognition even without earning them. And so maybe it's time to get back to that talk again and talk about this attitude of people who feel like everybody must serve them. You know, it breeds arrogance, it breeds selfishness and a lack of gratitude, ultimately undermining teamwork and fostering resentment among colleagues. An employee with a sense of entitlement who feels like they should get this promotion or they should be compensated for working on just 5 minutes extra. They feel like they must be compensated for helping another colleague. You have a new colleague, you're expected to train them, but when you have a sense of entitlement, you must be rewarded for that. For showing a new employee how things work. No, man. And they may display certain behaviors and attitudes that can be detrimental to their relationship with your colleagues, but also detrimental to your career. Here are some of the characteristics of an employee with excessive entitlement. Please self-diagnose. As I'm diagnosing myself as well. I keep burping, I'm sorry, but it's this Coke Zero and I'm gonna drink it again. Hey there, I'm Sipiwe Moyo, the host of this podcast called Organizational Behavior with Sipiwe Moyo. When I'm not behind this mic, I'm a global motivational speaker. I speak on topics like leadership, motivation, leading change, as well as happiness/well-being. I'm also a team facilitator. I facilitate team engagement session where we're trying to improve workplace and team culture. I've worked with so many organizations, Google, Johnson & Johnson, Hitachi, and many, many more. So if you're ready to take your team to the next level, please shoot me an email on cpw@cpwmoyo.com or just browse my website on cpwmoyo.com. I'm looking forward to work with you. For now, enjoy the rest of the podcast. What are some of the behaviors of people who are entitled? Arrogance. They may come across as arrogant, believing that they're inherently deserving. When someone else gets the job, they feel like, no, I should have gotten the job. No one else deserves it. You feel like you deserve special treatment, special privileges, and that thing must stop. They have a lack of accountability. They avoid taking responsibility for their actions or mistake. It's always someone else. It's never them. And they blame others or external factors for any shortcomings. They're unwilling to collaborate. They only want to collaborate when they are the leader. They may resist working with others or following established protocols, believing that their opinions and preferences should take precedence over everybody else, over their colleagues. They have this demanding behavior as well. They expect preferential treatment. They expect extra perks or accommodations without considering the needs and or perspective of others. They have this sense of entitlement. They feel like they're entitled to rewards, to recognitions, to promotions. Nobody owes you a promotion. This is what I used to say in that talk that I think I'm going to resuscitate. Nobody owes you a promotion in life. Nobody owes you anything in life, especially without putting in the necessary effort or demonstrating the required skills or competences. They have a certain disregard for rules and norms. They may disregard organizational policies or guidelines. But also, they want to stick with their job description. Anything that is not in their job descriptions, they won't do. No, I'm not paid for that. Guys, do you understand that the workplace is dynamic? The workplace changes all the time. If you're going to follow a job description, none of us are following job descriptions. We just adapt to whatever is happening in the organization. But if you have a job description mentality, you're not going to go anywhere. I'm not saying employers should abuse you, but I'm saying everybody in the organization, this document called the job description is alive, is dynamic, it's living, it's changing all the time. But people with an entitlement mentality, they'll be like, no, this is not in my job description. But this is then, you know, it becomes, it impacts negatively on team dynamics. It disrupts team cohesion, creating conflict and undermining trust and collaboration among team members. So overall, an employee with excessive entitlement may display behaviors such as arrogance, lack of accountability, unwillingness to collaborate, demanding behavior, sense of entitlement, disregard of rules, lack of empathy, resisting feedback, and it has a negative impact on team dynamics. So let me then talk about the deficient vice. Remember, what we want is an employee who is self-assured and self-worth. That's what it's about. And I've just distinguished that with self-worth in the workplace and entitlement. But there are also people who have what we call the deficient vice of self-worth and self-assurance. In other words, they're at the opposite of the entitled ones. So the deficient vice associated with self-worth and is associated with self-deprecation. Individuals who struggle with self-deprecation downplay their achievements. They downplay their skills or contribution, and they apologize excessively for asserting their worth. They're always apologetic. And this can lead to missed opportunities, diminished confidence, and a reluctance to advocate for oneself in the workplace. So low self-worth may exhibit certain behaviors that are also not helpful. So I don't want you to be entitled, my colleagues, but I also don't want you to have low self-worth. What we want is this thing in the middle called self-worth and self-assurance. So if you lack that self-worth, you lack confidence, you doubt your abilities, you second-guess your decisions, and you struggle to assert yourself in professional settings. You have self-doubt. You have a constant internal dialogue of self-criticism and negative self-talk, leading to feelings of inadequacy and the famous imposter syndrome. You avoid challenges when you lack self-worth. You shy away from taking on new challenges or challenging tasks in the workplace because you have this fear of rejection or fear of failure. You over-apologize. You excessively apologize for minor mistakes or perceived shortcomings, seeking reassurance constantly and validation from others. You tend to be people-pleasing as well. You may prioritize the needs of others and opinions over your own, seeking approval and validation from colleagues and supervisors all the time. Here's another sign, perfectionism. People with lack of self-worth, they may set unrealistic standards for themselves and be overcritical of their work, leading to procrastination and the fear of making mistakes. They have difficulty accepting praise. They may struggle to accept compliments or recognition for their achievements. They dismiss positive feedback. Do not dismiss positive feedback or attributing success to external factors. They don't own their successes. Also, they lack boundary setting. They may have difficulty setting boundaries in their interactions with colleagues, leading to feelings of being overwhelmed or taken advantage of. They also avoid conflict. They may avoid conflict or difficult conversations, fearing confrontation or rejection. Lastly, it will lead to burnout. It will end in burnout. That lack of self-worth will manifest in feelings of exhaustion, overwhelm, and a lack of motivation, leading to burnout and decreased productivity. So I want to close with this. Employees with deficient self-worth may benefit from the support and encouragement of others. So I want to close this entry with cultivating a healthy sense of self-worth and avoiding the extremes of entitlement on one hand and low self-worth on the other. And how you solve that? You solve that through things like self-awareness, self-reflection, and intentional personal development. So let me just mention a few and then we'll close. Here are some few strategies to promote a balanced and healthy self-worth in the workplace. Self-awareness. Reflect on your own beliefs, values, and strengths. Positive self-talk. Do not undermine the role of positive self-talk. Encourage yourself. Practice self-talk. Challenge your negative beliefs about yourself. Affirmations, mindfulness techniques, and even some of the CBT cognitive behavioral strategies that we've spoken about in the podcast. Try and do those. Set realistic goals. And as you achieve those goals, your belief in yourself will increase. Seek feedback. Encourage Feedback. Seek feedback from colleagues, supervisors, and mentors. This constructive feedback can provide valuable insights and highlight areas of improvement that you need to have. And cultivate empathy and in yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. But I want you to please understand, if you have low self-worth, I want you to understand that it is detrimental to your career. So in this little short episode of that line between entitlement and self-assurance in the workplace, what I sought to do is to show you the virtue of self-worth and self-assurance in the workplace, avoiding the extremes of entitlement and avoid the extremes of low self-worth. So by promoting a self-awareness, positive self-talk, and setting realistic goals, seeking feedback, it's going to be very important for you to develop that self-assurance, that self-worth in the workplace. But please, please, please avoid the extreme of being entitled and feeling like everybody owes you something. So that's the episode of Organizational Behavior with Sipiwe Moyo. I hope it's been helpful. If you're starting to see a culture of entitlement, rearing its ugly head in the workplace, please call me. I'm resuscitating my motivational talk called Get Over It, because I'm realizing that there are few people still need to hear that message. Nobody owes you anything in life. Yes, the world must provide opportunities, but you also must have that self-assurance to take responsibility for your own career, because we know that there is a link between self-worth, self-assurance, and career advancement. That's been an episode of Organizational Behavior with Sipiwe Moyo. Make sure that you join me next time. I'm out!